Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program's name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Welcome and welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, where we are taking a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Word of God, which can only be found in the Holy Bible. And specifically, we are in the New Testament, the book of John, or the Gospel of John, chapter 16. In our last episode, we started chapter 16. In this episode, we're going to continue our study of the 16th chapter of the book of John. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 27. Again, that's John, the book of John out of the New Testament, chapter 16, verses 12 through 27. And before we get started, I'd like to remind you that if you miss any of our prior episodes for either three of our podcasts, that's this podcast, Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God, the other podcasts of God Revelation and the Holy Spirit podcast, those past and future episodes can always be found on our website of renewyourmindministries.org. That's Renew Your Mind Ministries. Ministries is plural, so it's MINISTRIES.org. You can also find them on Facebook. That's facebook.com/renewyourmindministry. Ministry is plural on Facebook. That's facebook.com/renewyourmind, MINISTRY. Depending on when you start listening to the podcast, and when it comes to Facebook, I announced that our previous Facebook page was hacked. And so that address was facebook.com/renewyourmindministries, plural, but that was hacked. We no longer have access. It's still up. When you go there, they're going to have a picture of three ladies or four ladies in some jeans. I think they renamed it. The hackers renamed it denim jeans or jogger or something like that. So the information is still there, but that's not our official Facebook page any longer because we can't. I reported it. I think they suspended it, but they didn't take it down. So we have no control over it. So that's why I'm giving out this new Facebook page as facebook.com/renewyourmindministry, plural. That's MINISTR. Check us out there. Subscribe there. Also, you can find us on Twitter or X now. And that's twitter.com/renewyourmindm. That's twitter.com/renewyourmind. The letter M. Subscribe there. Or you can also find any of our episodes for any three of the podcasts anywhere where you listen to podcasts. We should be there. And if we're not there, shoot me an email and we'll see about getting us signed up. But anywhere for us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon. You could even tell the Amazon Alexa to play the podcast and she will. So subscribe with those services. And so when we issue or put out a new podcast, I think you get immediate notice of all that. We thank you for your listenership. We pray that you're being blessed by the Word of God. And we know you're being blessed by the Word of God, because anytime you study the Word of God, God is blessing you with His Word, with His presence. And so what we're going to do is we traditionally do, we're going to read the verses that we going to study in this podcast, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to break them down individually. So let's do that. If you have not already done so, let's open your Bible or your Bible app to the book of John, chapter 16, and we're going to start reading verse number 12. And again, to recap before we read verses 12 through 27, to recap what's going on, Jesus has finished the upper room, was often called the upper room discourse, where he's once again predicted his death. He's also predicted that one of his disciple is going to betray him. Another one will forsake him. And he's predicted his death. And he's saying all these things, as we talked about in our last episode when we looked at verses 1 through 11, that he's basically, Jesus is getting his disciples prepared for what's about to occur. That is his arrest, his beating, his humiliation, him being spat upon and ultimately being crucified for the sins of mankind. So he's telling them these things, as we talked about in our last episodes, that he's warning them when these things come to pass, when Peter forsake me, when Judas betray me, when I'm humiliated, wrongfully arrested, and ultimately killed, don't abandon your faith. Don't abandon your faith. He's telling you that you're going to get put out of the synagogue. You're going to be, some of you all are going to be killed. Some of you all are going to be arrested. And the people that's going to be doing these things are going to be saying they're doing them in the name of God. But Jesus warns them that they're not doing these things in the name of God because they don't know him. They don't know God. And not to lose heart, not to lose faith, because he's coming back. And he did, because Jesus died. And he came back to life. We can't overlook that aspect. Jesus is alive today, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He is alive. He came back. Not only did he die, he came back. And he spent 40 days on this earth with his disciples, continuing to teach them. And then after that 40 days, he ascended back into heaven, which he came. And he sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to start his earthly ministry, which is still going on today, to recreate, regenerate the spirits of believers, to comfort believers, to counsel believers, that point back to Jesus Christ, to convict the world of its sins, to convict the world and show the world of God's righteousness and of his judgment. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's going on today. And that's what he's talking to them about. And that's what he's going to continue to talk to them about in these verses that we're going to cover today. So if you have not already done so, please open your Bible or your Bible app to the book of John, found in the New Testament, chapter 16. And as I like to often do, if you are reading a version of the Bible, particularly the old King James versions, where they're using old English that we no longer speak or write in today, like these and thous and thus and all that, get you a updated translation. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The N, you have the NIV. Just be careful of getting a paraphrased Bible, where instead of doing a word from word translation, someone is paraphrasing in their own word what they believe the words to mean. Now, sometimes paraphrased Bibles can be good for supplement or Bible study, to supplement your Bible study, but you don't want that to be your main text. You want, as best you can, get a word for word translation of the Bible from this original languages of Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. And so, if you're reading and you're struggling to understand God's word, there's updated versions where scholars, Bible scholars who understand the original languages in which the Bibles were written in, have translated word for word as best there can be. And the reason why I say that, because there's some translations of words that they use that there's maybe some variations, but it doesn't change the overall context of the meaning and of the Bible. So these Bible scholars, who understand the languages, know how to read it and write it and translate it, has updated into the language that we speak now, the English that we speak and write in now, where you can read the word of God and understand it. Don't struggle through a version that you can't understand. Don't stop making it difficult for yourself. Read a version that you can understand. I'm now checking out the New Living Translation. I like it. If you listen to old episodes, I was in the NIV. I thank God when I stumbled upon the NIV version when I was a younger man, because I struggled with reading the King James Version of the Bible. When I say the King James Version, the Bible was translated from its original languages into the English in which they spoke at that time, which we don't speak anymore. And so it was difficult. And then I can't remember how, but I somehow got my hands on an NIV, and man, that just changed the way I was able to read and understand the Word of God. I didn't have to wonder about what they're talking about as far as, you know, sentence context and the these and the thous and who they're referring to. It's written in a language in which we now read, and it's been translated anyway to the language, the standard English that we're written in now, or whatever language that you may be speaking, where you don't have to struggle unnecessarily. God wants you to understand his word. Don't make it difficult on yourself. He's made it easy by translating it in a in the language in which the English or the version of English in which we speak today. So take that to heart. So anyway, let's go back to chapter 16, the book of John. We're going to pick up in verse number 12. Again, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Verse 14, he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Verse number 16, and a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that, you will see me again. Some of the disciples ask each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I'm going to the Father. And what does he mean by saying a little while? We don't understand. Verse number 19. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I mean? I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives away to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Verse number 24. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and will tell you plainly all about the Father. Verse number 26. Then you ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for your opportunity to study your God. We study your word, God. We thank you for you. We thank you for being the Most High God, the living God, the true God, the only God. We thank you that you would send your only begotten Son, Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for obeying the Father, even unto death, coming down from heaven, leaving glory to this earth to take on flesh, to live the life that we could never live, the perfect life, that you could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, for sending back the Holy Spirit to regenerate believers, for the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to counsel us. And we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit to counsel us in your word, to open up your word here today in this program, Father, that we may know you and know your ways, Father, and apply it in our lives. You are great. You're wonderful. You're magnificent. We just thank you in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. So let's go back to verse number 12. Again, as Jesus is still talking, to his disciples about his impending arrest and death. Let's look at verse number 12. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. The main reason Jesus has made these comments is to prepare, as we said before, his disciples for the hard times that are to come, not only in dealing with seeing the man that they've spent the last 3.5 years with to witness these miraculous signs and wonders of raising the dead and healing the sick and giving blind to the sight of thousands, but doing this to thousands of people, the one that they have now confessed to and come to believe as the Messiah, and then all of a sudden he's arrested and killed. They can't get their mind around that. And then after that, he's talking about their upcoming, their persecution for their belief in him. So he's telling them about these hard times to come, which in the next few hours, they're going to see these things that's going to begin to play out. Almost certainly these disciples are nervous and they're afraid and they're sorrowful, as we've already seen in John chapter 16, verse 6. And rather than overwhelming them with even more, Jesus knows when to stop. He said, I want to tell you more, but you just can't bear it right now. This again is the reason, is one of the reasons God will send the Holy Spirit to encourage his disciples, to teach them, to remind them of the things that they couldn't fully understand when Jesus was telling them about them. All right, moving on to verse 13 of John chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, which he did on the day of Pentecost, this is not in the text, I'm just saying when it came, the Holy Spirit will come on the day of Pentecost, which we're eventually going to get to. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Here in verse 13, here again, Jesus referred to the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth. Many aspects of Jesus' earthly ministry were misunderstood prior to his resurrection. We saw it over and over again as Jesus talked to his disciples and talked to the woman at the well and talked to many individuals, and they just didn't get it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, they're going to get it. The work of the Holy Spirit, especially in the lives of the apostles, would be to clarify the events that Jesus has been telling them about. But in the lives of all Christian believers, the Holy Spirit provides insight that can't be expected of those without his influence. So he gives us counsel. He talks about him being the counselor. He counsels and gives us insight to the things of God, to Jesus specifically, and how he died for our sins. And he was rose, and he rose again from the dead. Jesus just didn't die, but he rose again. We have to emphasize that too, that he rose again. Jesus is alive today, and he's coming back again to this earth physically, where the whole world will see, and every knee will bow, non-believers and believers. But at that time, when the whole world see him, there won't be such thing as non-believers. Everybody will believe and will confess him as Lord. But then those will be confessing him as Lord and rejoicing into everlasting life with him. And then there will be those who were confessing him as Lord as they're being sent into eternal damnation. Which side will you be on? And that question can only be answered if have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There will be no in-betweens. Either you will have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess him and leave him, or you won't. Either you will have eternal life with him, or you won't. The choice is yours. And I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he died for your sins, because he did. He did that. God died for your sins. Can you wrap your mind around that? The Creator died for the creature. We are the creature. We are the created. He is the Creator. He created everything. In this verse, going back to this verse, we are told that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, not some of the truth, but all the truth, all the truth. We're told that the Holy Spirit would not speak of himself, but about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And that's what he does. He tells us and guide us and influences us and better get to where we can understand about Jesus, that he died and he rose again. In this verse, when it speaks of the future, here is referring to discerning and understanding the new covenant in Jesus' blood after his burial and resurrection. So he's not talking about psychic powers, but that has to be discerned, spiritually discerned and understood, that Jesus died for us and he was buried and he rose again. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand and believe in that. Moving on to verse number 14. Out of the book of John, chapter 16, he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Again, the Holy Spirit is to glory, to glorify and to direct us to Jesus, which means to direct us to God. Jesus is God. He's glorifying and directing us to God. Verse number 15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit would tell you whatever he receives from me. Jesus' reference to the Holy Spirit here is tying together all three members of the Holy Trinity. They're all involved, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why he can say that everything that belongs to the Father belongs to mine. And that's why the Spirit is going to tell you everything here is from me, because it's the Holy Trinity, the triune Godhead. Moving on to verse number 16. In a little while, you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that, you will see me again. In this verse, Jesus is referring to his resurrection, as I've been preaching here over and over again, because it's so important. It's this, and I'm out. It's not just about Jesus dying, but he rose again, his resurrection, which we're going to talk about in John chapter 20, and his ascension in Acts. We're going to talk about that in Acts, back to heaven. Not only he rose again, he went back to heaven during that 40-day period. He once again, Jesus will be once again visible and present with his disciples. So that's when he tells them about it. Look, a little while, you won't see me anymore. But then in that third day, he rose out of the grave. He's going to spend 40 days on this earth with the disciples, continually to teach them and minister to them. He's going to be visible to them and many others. So they're going to see him again. And all of us are going to see him when he returns to the second time to this earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but as a judge. He came the first time as a savior. The savior of the world, to die for mankind's sins. But when he come back the second time, he's coming back in judgment to judge those who would not accept his gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. You receive it by faith, meaning that you believe in it. He did it all. We can't do anything. We can't not save ourselves. Going to church is not going to save. Doing good, what we would consider good deeds, are not going to save us. None of that stuff is going to save us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. Yes, we should go to church. Yes, we should live a holy life. But it's what Jesus did on the cross, dying for mankind's sin. That is what saves us and our beliefs in that. He did that freely. We're going to talk about it. It talks about he gave up the ghost. They couldn't take it from him. He gave it up. He gave his life up for us. He did it all. We can't earn salvation. We have to believe in it as a gift. Believe that he did it. That's it. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Is it as simple as that? Some will say, is it as simple as that? Yes, it's as simple as that. And I'm not saying that. That's what his word says. That's what he says. It's not, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm saying what the word says. I'm repeating his word out of the Bible. That's what his word says. And you can take God at his word. All right, we're going to take verses 17, 18, 19, and 20 together. Oh, and 21, because they all flow together. All right, starting with verse 17. Some of the disciples ask each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I'm going to the Father. Verse 18. And what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. Verse 19. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I mean? I said in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. Verse 20, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. And then finally, verse number 21, it will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives away to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So here, as usual, the disciples are saying among themselves, they don't understand what he mean by what he's mean. What does he mean by what he's saying, that we won't see him in a little while, and in a little while we will? And Jesus, knowing what they were saying or thinking, he said, you're asking me what I mean. And he compared it to a woman having a baby. Because he was saying, when I die, you're going to be weeping and mourning. Because again, this was their friend. This was their Messiah. They had spent the last 3.5 years with Jesus, eating with him, praying with him, witnessing the miracles, and Jesus giving them power to perform miraculous signs. And then all of a sudden, he's going to be gone. He's going to be dead. They're going to be in mourning. They're going to be weeping. And he said, when this happened, you're going to be in grief, but the world is going to be joyful, particularly the religious leaders of that time. They're going to be like, we got him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they're going to be saying, we got him. He's dead. They're going to be happy that Jesus is predicting these things are going to happen. But he said, then Jesus in verse number 21 talks about, it's like when a woman is in having a baby and going through the pains of labor, that those negative experiences, once that baby gets here, is immediately outweighed by the joy of the new baby. Your baby is here, and that's all you can think about is my baby. And happiness and joy is bestowed upon the parents, even though the mother just went through that terrible labor pain. She isn't thinking about that anymore. Let me see my baby. And Jesus is comparing that love of the child and the birth pains is relatively short-lived and more easily set aside. And he's saying, you're going to go through that grieving. You're going to be sorrowful when I die, but when I come back, you're going to be in joy that no one can take away from you, because you're going to know, if they had any doubt at that point, they're going to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the real deal, because they would have witnessed his humiliation, the result of the beatings. They describe in the Old Testament, they beat him so bad that he didn't even look like a man anymore. They're going to be able to see that. The crowd is going to be able to see the beatings that happened to him. They're going to be there when he's dying on that cross. They're going to know this is not a fraud. This is not something someone has told them. They're going to see these things with their own eyes. And then they're going to see with their own eyes the resurrected Christ in his glorified body. But even in his glorified body, he's going to show them where the nails were in his hands and his feet to let them know it is me. What you're seeing is real, and the joy that they're going to experience, Jesus tell them that no one can take away from them, because they're going to know. They're going to know that they know that they know that Jesus is real, that he's God, that he's resurrected, because they saw it and experienced for themselves. We're hearing about it, and we believe in faith that those things happen. But they were there. They saw it with their own eyes. They lived it. Verse number 22. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that. Just like I was saying, you may have sorrows during that time, but when you see me again, you're going to rejoice. And they did. And no one's going to be able to rob them of that joy, knowing that they had experienced life with the Messiah. Think about that. Those men experienced life with Jesus. They ate with him. They slept with him. They prayed with him. They witnessed the miracles. Peter walked on the water with him. That's amazing that those men got a chance to experience life with God in the flesh. But there'll come a time in the future when he comes back to the earth, to this earth, the second time, that us believers will experience life for everlasting with God in the flesh. Because that's what's going to happen. He's coming back, my friends. And there's going to be those of us who experience life with him that would have everlasting joy and peace and happiness. And then there'll be those who don't accept him that will experience eternal damnation and torment. Which one will you be in? There won't be any betweens. There won't be anything between. There's just two sides. With Jesus and without him. I encourage you to be with him. Be with him, my friend. Verse number 23. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your requests, because you use my name. Jesus is saying after his resurrection, many of their questions will be answered. And he is saying that after his ascension back into heaven, because he came from heaven, he's going back to heaven. And after the Holy Spirit comes after the day of Pentecost, which we're going to talk about, that as for him personally, as they're doing now, they're asking him questions now, but he won't be there physically to ask him a question. They'll be able to ask the Father directly in his name. Because think about it. These are Jewish people he's talking to. We have the hindsight, and we know now to pray in the name of Jesus. And he's telling them to be praying in the name of Jesus. But up to that time, there was no reason to pray in the name of Jesus, because he had not died for the sins of mankind. And so he's prepping them for that. After I'm gone, you can go directly to the Father in my name, which we have that privilege today, that right today, because of what he did, Jesus did on the cross. And he's telling them and he's telling us, you can now, because he's physically not here, you can now go directly, make your petitions known directly to God the Father in my name. Again, Jesus is not saying in this verse, just put in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer and whatever you ask for is going to be granted. He's not saying that. Instead, he's saying in the name of Jesus means to invoke his authority and his will. We're not doing anything in our own authority. We're not asking for our will. We're going to be asking, if you truly want your prayers answered, pray for what God's will is. I want your will, Father, not my will, but your will. That's what Jesus said, not my will, but your will. In your son's name. And it shall be granted unto you. Verse number 24 of John chapter 16. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. While Jesus was with them, the work of the cross had not been accomplished. So his name could not be used. But after he accomplished his goal, to die for mankind's sin, then we can use his name to go directly to the Father to ask that his will be done in our lives. And he has a glorious will for us to tell others about Jesus, to live a holy life for him, to be the light for him. Verse number 25. I have spoken of these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and will tell you plain all about the Father. Jesus tells them that in the past he spoke in parables. We talked and looked at those parables. But he says after his resurrection, he will speak plainly to them. Because he has a mission for them. And there were people around, and we talked about those parables, and they was asking why I'm speaking parables. Like, they're hanging around us. People hanging around us, they're looking for a show. They're just looking for what they can do for me. They're not really interested in me as the Messiah. They're not really seeking after me. They're looking for me to feed them. They're looking for healing. They're not really looking for a relationship with me. And he said, after my resurrection, I won't need to talk about that in parables anymore. I'm going to talk plainly to you because I have a mission for you to spread the good news of my death, burial, and resurrection throughout all the world. And they did it over 2,000 years later. We're still talking and preaching and teaching about Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, God in the flesh coming to die for his creatures, that we may have everlasting forgiveness of sin and everlasting life with him. Hallelujah. Verse number 26, then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. We're going to read continue on to verse number 27. For the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from him. The disciples have been commanded to pray in the name of Jesus. He's getting them ready to start praying in the name of Jesus. And he said in the prior verse, you hadn't been doing this in the past, but now when these things come to pass, when I die and I'm buried and I'm resurrected because I was perfect, sinless, death couldn't hold me, then you can go directly to the Father. I won't be physically here anymore. I'm going back to heaven. But that's not the end of the story. You can still go before the Father and ask in my name, and it shall be granted unto you. When they do so, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and thanks to the reconciliation of Jesus, they will have direct communication with God. You won't need the priesthood anymore. You don't have to go through pastor. As a believer, we have a direct line of communication with the Father through Jesus. And we have him as a great intermediator. He's up there praying on our behalf, just like he prayed for the disciples. He's praying for us. The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that he is our great intermediator. Our great mediator between us and the Father. He's praying on our behalf. He's advocating for us before the Father. He also says, when Jesus says he will not make requests to God, the Father, meaning that meaning that they can ask him directly. He said, I don't have to necessarily ask God the Father for you. You can ask him directly. That's what he means in that part of the verse. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what you did for us. Thank you that because of your sacrifice on that cross, giving up your life, that we can have direct access to the Father in your name. Thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit to recreate us and our spirit man to make it new, a new creation, a creation that's beholden unto you, that wants to serve you, that knows you. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your kindness, your love. Thank you for your word. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're wonderful and you're great. In Jesus' name. And if you're listening to me right now, and if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is your time. It is by no coincidence that you're listening to this right now. It's by no coincidence that you may have a feeling in your inner being that's saying, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe what this guy's saying. I believe God's word, what he's saying about God's word. It ain't about me. It's about God's word. I am just repeating what the word says. The power's in the word. And that's something in some of you all right now that's saying, I believe that. I believe God's word. I believe in Jesus. I believe he came down from heaven. I believe he lived a perfect life. I believe he died for me. If that's you, say that. Confess it right now. Say, Father God, in your son's mighty name, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And I need a savior. And that savior is your son, Jesus. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that he died for my sins. Forgive my sins. In your son, Jesus' name. Jesus, I now confess you as Lord. Thank you for dying for my sins. In your name, amen. Now, if you believe that and confess that according to God's word, not according to me, but God's word, you are now saved. You're a new spirit creature. You have eternal life that would never die. That spirit man would never die. This physical body that you're in will die one day unless the rapture happens before. But even after that, the new spirit, after the physical body dies, the spirit man goes to heaven. And then one, right before this rapture occur, at a twinkling of an eye, the old body will be transformed to a glorified body. The new spirit man will be united with that body and will live forever. That's our promise. He promised it to us. It shall come to pass. That's you now. You should rejoice. You may not feel anything. That's fine. Salvation is not about a feeling. It's not about emotions. It's about trusting God, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you've done that, you're a new creature in Christ. You've reconciled to him. He's forgiven your sins. Now it's up to you to stand upon that and believe that and continue to study God's word, to pray to him. Start the sanctification process. Start to get the past life and experiences that you just doesn't just happen to go away just because you're saved. But you can overcome those by creating a bond and getting closer to this Jesus you now confess by studying his word, by praying to him, by worshiping him with other local believers. You'll start to build and want to start living your life for Jesus and telling others about him, so they too can experience the same thing that you've experienced. So hallelujah for you. Thank God for you. You've just made a wonderful choice. A choice that has changed your life, whether you realize it or not, it's changed you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will save a wretch like me. That you would save other wretches like me. You knew everything that we would do. Even before we were born, even thought of, you knew it. But you said, I'm going to that cross. to pay the penalty for that. I'm going to do it. And he did it. Thank you. In Jesus' holy name, thank you. Until next time, may God bless you. Amen. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to renewyourmindm@gmail.com or mail it to P.O. Box 721143, Jackson, Mississippi 39272. Remember, you can hear current and past episodes at any time on our website of renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Audible, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website of renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you are doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.